But then the tension is broken, and one elder says, "There is one." The elder tells him, "The one who is worthy is a lion, and he has triumphed, and he is worthy to open the scroll." So John looks at the lion. So place yourself there. You are told that the lion is worthy. And you look around, and what they are calling a lion is actually a lamb. The lion is the lamb. And his surprise didn't end there. It wasn't just any lamb. It was a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes that looked like it had just been slaughtered. It's quite an image, isn't it? It's interesting, the language that they use to describe the slain part or the slaughtered lamb, the language points to a lamb that is not slain at a point of time, but almost continually slain. Like he is always just freshly slaughtered, but alive, with his throat slit and blood pouring out and a stained coat, pouring himself out continually. That's not the only strange thing, as the seven horns and seven eyes thing is not a normal occurrence in lambs. So, like, why so weird? And when we read Revelation, we need to understand the numbers and other things symbolically through the language and lenses of Old Testament images. Because horns always in the Old Testament were a representation of strength and power. So he has these horns, this lamb, which represents his strength and power, and the number seven, which means that they are complete in their strength, completely strong. And it's this amazing contrast because you have this lamb who is weak and strong at the same time. A lion and a lamb at the same time. Alive and slaughtered at the same time. And the eyes in the biblical world, in the Old Testament world, represented wisdom. And this lamb has seven eyes, which means he is perfectly wise and sees in perfection. Nothing escapes him. And we are told that the seven spirits are sent out. Well, and you might ask, which ones? Which seven spirits? Which are they? No, it doesn't matter. That's the wrong question. The question shouldn't be based on the number seven as a numeral, but as a symbol. The number is a symbol. And the number means perfection, completeness. The number means perfect. And where the Spirit is sent, it's saturated and full. The Spirit is sent everywhere. So that's what John saw when he looked at the lion and saw a slaughtered lamb. But not only that, where it was standing was profoundly significant. In verse 6, we read that the lamb was standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. I'm just trying to get a visual here of what John saw. The lamb standing on a throne. But then in verse 7, the lamb went to the throne. And he took the scroll from the one who was already seated on the throne. It's a little confusing. So we have a lamb on a throne that it's occupied in the center of the throne going to the throne. It's confusing. It's really ambiguous language, and other translations describe it differently. The King James says, "The lamb is in the midst of the throne and everything else." The New American Standard says, "The lamb is between the throne." The New Revised Standard Version says, "The lamb is between the throne and the four living creatures." And the New Living says, "Between the throne and the four living creatures and among the 24 elders." Now, all this variety in translations indicates that there is some difficulty in translating this and capturing it in English. It's a difficult concept to capture. And what they are struggling with is how to communicate this idea from the original language that the Lamb is at the center of everything here. He's at the center of everything. Not around the perimeter, not on the side, not away from the action, not a bystander. He's in the middle. The Lamb, He is the center of everything. All the action, all that's going on, the Lamb is in the middle. He's in the thick of it, involved, affected, and affecting. The Lamb is at the center of everything in the picture. And He's surrounded as well. In the middle of four living creatures and 24 elders. By the way, I can't get into everything today, but I did prepare a handout for you guys if you're interested about numbers in the book of Revelation. So you can come up and get that later. I had a tip from all the teachers here. Don't hand handouts in while you're giving a talk, because people will look at them and forget what you're saying. So here we go, right here. Come and get them after. So I'm not going to talk about that right now. So this lion lamb who's in the center of all this, He is the one who is worthy to take the scroll and open it. So He takes it. And it's the most momentous thing in history, the Lamb taking this scroll, because it means that God is going to heal the land and heal the wounds of creation. It represents God's plan and intention for establishing God's rule in the whole world. It represents God's plan for bringing the original purpose of creation to fulfillment. And it represents God's plan for bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. So the Lamb, He takes the scroll, and there is this outburst of worship and praise. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. He is worthy. Why? Because He was slain. It's interesting the things that are left out here. Not because He is powerful, which He is. Not because He is risen, which He has. Not because He is creator, which He is. No, because He is slain. You know who this lion is? You know who this lamb is? The slaughtered lamb with seven horns and seven eyes? The lamb at the center of everything? This is Jesus. And this is who Jesus is. He is the one who stands in the center. He stands in the gap. And He gets in the middle of things. He is where He needs to be. And this lamb, this Jesus lion lamb, you know how he wins, how He triumphs? He wins by being slaughtered. And He is the only one worthy and able to win this way. And sacrificial love wins everything. It's not violence. It's not hate that wins. It's not domination. It's sacrifice. Sacrificial love wins everything. This is the apocalypse. This is what is revealed. Jesus, the Lamb, wins by being slaughtered. This is the secret that's revealed. Sacrificial love wins everything. Now, I told you would meet Jesus in Revelation in a fresh way, and encounter a picture that lets you see what God is like. And this is what Jesus is like. He reigns by entering into the hurts of the world and taking them onto Himself. This is what Jesus is like. He's in the middle of everything. Even those places in life that we don't want to go, even those things that we want to avoid, Jesus is there. He's in the middle. He's in the midst. You know that family conflict you might have just had? He's there in the middle of it. You know that death that just hurts? He's there in the middle of it, bringing comfort. You know that struggle you were having? He's there in the middle of it. You know the hopeless seeming state of politics and the world? He's there in the middle of it. Jesus is in the middle. He's in the midst. And he stands there offering sacrificial love as the solution. You know, even now Jesus has won. The Lamb has taken the scroll and God is reconciling through sacrificial love right now. Jesus is in the midst. He is in the middle right now. You know what this apocalypse, this window reveals? That there is only one way to win. Only one way to have victory over evil. And that is sacrificial love. Sacrificial goodness. You can't overcome evil with evil. Evil spawns more evil. Violence spawns more violence. Hate spawns hate. I love how this section ends. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. Them, a kingdom. Them, priests. And that's us, his people, his church. We are a kingdom of priests. And I want to tell you one more thing that this reveals for us. We also are to be in the middle. We also are to be in the midst of conflict, in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of joy, in the midst of life. We are called to be in the midst, in the middle of things. You know, a couple weeks after I had given that guy money, I was shopping somewhere else, and I was really surprised to see the same guy. And he came up to the door, and he said he was looking for money because his truck had been towed, and he was trying to get to work, and he was wearing his official worker's outfit and his vest. And I realized that I'd been taken, that I'd been duped, because he wasn't still looking for money to go to work, to get his truck out of the impound. He was making a lot of money, though. I can guarantee you that. Funny thing is, he lost my number. You know, we do make mistakes when we jump into the midst of things, in the middle of things. But that's what sacrificial love is. And we are not alone. Jesus is present with us. That's the promise of Scripture. He sent his Holy Spirit. And even when we feel weak and unworthy and helpless, he is in the midst. He's in the middle. Jesus is with us. And we go into the middle of something. We don't go into the middle alone. We go with Jesus. He is with us. And this is our God. This is our Jesus. Jesus is going to win. He's on the throne, and he's in the center, and he's in our midst. Amen.